This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily via the internet address www.parstoday.com/en. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Intelsat 902, and Eutelsat satellite, as well as via internet. You can also listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for more details.
Here we enlighten you with ayahs 261 and 262 from the Surah Baqara, recited by Ali Parhiskar.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم مثل الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل كمثل حبة أنبتت سبع سنابل في كل سنبلة مئة حبة والله يضاعف لمن يشاء والله واسع عليم الذين ينفقون أموالهم في سبيل الله ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى ثم لا يتبعون ما أنفقوا منا ولا أذى لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون صدق الله العلي العظيم.
In the name of God, the most gracious, the most compassionate. The parable of those who spend their property in the way of Allah is as the parable of the grain growing 7 years, with 100 grains in every year. And Allah multiplies for whom He pleases, and Allah is ample giving, knowing. As for those who spend their property in the way of Allah, then do not follow what they have spent with reproach or injury. They shall have their reward from their Lord, and they shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The headlines: Hamas releases 10 Israeli captives and 2 foreign nationals in return for 30 Palestinians freed by Israel in the fifth phase prisoner swap deal. The Palestinian Health Ministry sounds the alarm about the dire situation of hospitals in northern Gaza despite the truce, describing it as catastrophic. And Iran says durable peace in Palestine can only be achieved by ending the occupation and restoring Palestinians' inalienable right to self-determination. Here's our top story for this half hour. Hamas hands over 10 Israelis and 2 foreign nationals to the Red Cross as part of an extended truce deal with Israel, which also includes the release of Palestinian prisoners. 30 Palestinians, including 15 children and 15 women, were also freed from an Israeli jail in the occupied West Bank as part of the fifth phase of the prisoner exchange deal. On Monday, the two sides agreed to extend the truce deal until Wednesday under the same conditions set for the initial ceasefire. Before the latest round of exchange, Hamas had released a total of 81 captives, while Israel had freed 150 Palestinian detainees. The initial ceasefire came into effect on Friday, after nearly 7 weeks of Israel's constant bombardment of Gaza. Asher Shannon is joining us from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza with all the latest from the situation on the ground in the Gaza Strip. Ashraf, please bring us up to speed on what's taking place over there. And also, if you may, give us some updates on the humanitarian aspect and the aid assistance of this truce that has been going on for over 5 days now.
Well, but the humanitarian pause has entered its sixth day today after being renewed 2 days ago. So yesterday and today, there were the new days for the humanitarian pause. And people are still waiting if tonight is going to be renewed again for 2 more days. Israel insists that for every humanitarian pause every day, the Hamas and the resistance factions must release 10 Israelis each day. So it remains to be seen tonight if the humanitarian pause will be renewed or not. Meanwhile, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is horrible, as bad as it was since the beginning of this the Israeli atrocities against 2.3 million Palestinians in Gaza. The health sector has completely collapsed, especially in the northern parts of the Gaza Strip. There's only 2 hospitals working there, and they're partially working, including the Al-Ahli Al-Arabi Hospital, or also known as the Protestant Church Hospital in Gaza City, and already working at 300% capacity. Also, the Kamal Adwan Hospital in northern Gaza is working at 200% capacity, and they're having problems with fuel, medicines, and surgical supplies. This, while Al-Nasr Hospital for Children, when people went there yesterday, they found premature babies that were partially eaten by stray dogs, as Israel has refused to allow those premature babies to be evacuated from that hospital last week. All over the Gaza Strip, there is no running water, no fresh water, no drinking water. Sewage system has completely collapsed. Raw sewage has been seeping into the Mediterranean now for more than 8 weeks. Electricity, there is no electricity in Gaza for 53 days now, no electricity whatsoever. The hospitals in the southern part of the Gaza Strip, including this one, Nasser Hospital, is partially operating. It's still working at 200% capacity. There are no beds for any extra injuries or sick people. But the only thing that's keeping this place alive is the fact that UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees in the Near East, has been supplying Nasser Hospital with a daily shipment of fuel for its electricity backup generator. while the aid that's been coming in through the Rafah crossing, around 100 trucks, are not doing anything to the Palestinians in Gaza. According to the government media office, they say that Gaza needs at least 1,000 trucks of aid every day for at least 2 months in order to partially recuperate. Most of the aid that's been coming in is blankets, mattresses, mineral water, but no surgical supplies, no surgical equipment, no real medicines for the hospitals to use during operations. Up until now, there's no anesthesia anywhere in the Gaza Strip.
All right, thank you, Ashraf. We're going to leave it there. Ashraf Shana joining us from Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Health facilities in the Gaza Strip bear the brunt of Israel's brutal war. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza has turned the spotlight on the dire situation of hospitals amid Israel's blockade.
Pursuant to the health status in the northern Gaza Strip, only three hospitals are still operating, but they cannot cover the health requirements inside the Gaza Strip, as these hospitals are small and there are 900,000 people left. In addition, the health situation in the northern Gaza Strip is currently desperate because of the inaccessibility of medical aid and fuel to the hospitals in the north.
The Palestinian Health Ministry spokesman also described the situation in northern Gaza as catastrophic amid lack of medicine and fuel. Al-Qudra said hospital beds are completely full and wounded people are lying on the ground. Further in his remarks, he denounced the arrest of the director of Shifa Hospital by Israeli forces.
The arrest of Dr. Muhammad Abu Salmiya is inhumane and illegal, and the international community must do everything possible to pressure the Israeli occupation to release Dr. Muhammad Abu Salmiya and his colleagues, as the arrest took place under the sight and supervision of the United Nations and the World Health Organization.
Israelis arrested the Al-Shifa Hospital director last week. They accused him of cooperating with the resistance movement Hamas. The regime claims Hamas used a hospital as its command center. Israel has not provided any evidence for that claim. Hamas and doctors working at the hospital have dismissed the claim. The hospital was recently the scene of massacre by Israeli military. Well, the Israeli war on Gaza is experiencing a pause, although the truce has experienced some bumps along the way in the form of Israeli violations. It's holding for the most part. The question is, what's going to happen after the pause ends? That's one of the reasons bringing out many calling for a permanent ceasefire, including Hollywood actors, celebrities, and politicians.
The four-day truce extended to six. The release of captives by Hamas fighters. Trucks rolling in for aid deliveries, giving the impression of positive humanitarian gestures from Israel. But that is far from the truth. On the release of Palestinian captives, Israel said no celebrations or they will be arrested again, showing Israel's dehumanizing behavior. Palestinians celebrated anyways. When it comes to Israel's genocidal war on Gaza, Israel has failed. To begin with, it lost the war from day one, when Operation Al-Aqsa Flood was executed by Hamas resistance fighters. The truce is another sign of Israel's failure, since it was not able to defeat one of its stated goals, the destruction of Hamas. According to senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan, Israel has also suffered a military defeat. Since October 7th, between 70 to 80 Israeli soldiers have been taken out by Hamas fighters, while 385 tanks have been destroyed. But another front that Israel has suffered a defeat, a humiliating one at that,
do not look away,
is the social media war. Not only has Israel lost the information war, Western media, no matter how hard they have tried, could not silence pro-Palestinian voices. Social media networks have also tried in vain to block and delete anti-Israeli posts, which they called anti-Semitic, like Facebook. Facebook approved ads that contained sentences like murder Palestinian civilians, wipe out Gazan women, children, and the elderly.
The U.S. support for Israel is filled with double standards. While the U.S. Says that it wants the pause to continue and wants a permanent ceasefire, it has continued with its staunch support for Israel. The U.S. president has approved Israeli access to U.S. weapons stockpile by eliminating the red tape.
The U.S. has played a dubious role when it comes to its stance on the Israeli war on Gaza. On the one hand, the U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is said to want to press Israel to end the war in his upcoming trip to the region. This is while the U.S. president will move to grant Israel unfettered access to U.S. weapons stockpile. The U.S. president has also said eliminating Hamas is very difficult, but not impossible, which is part of the reason why pro-Palestinian protests have continued unabated around the world, since many see the U.S. key in ending the war. Many celebrities have come out in support of Palestine and against U.S. unwavering support for Israel, especially when it comes to military aid. U.S. actress and activist Cynthia Nixon has launched a hunger strike, calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., an unprecedented move by a Hollywood actress.
To have a hunger strike to get attention, but also to say, yes, we are bombing and killing Palestinians in that way, but we're also starving them. 7% of the nutrition that's needed for a population of 2 million people has been allowed into Gaza. And so certainly many people are dying from bombs, but so many people in Gaza are on the hunger, on the precipice of starvation. And so that's why we're having a hunger strike to reflect the horror of that.
She was joined by state legislators and activists also.
I think about how much anxiety and depression and fear and all those emotions that Gazans are feeling every day.
We have lost an entire society. Cities have been flattened. And if President Biden does not demand a permanent ceasefire, all of Gaza could be lost.
Israel is so afraid of the backlash. The Israeli lobby has offered $20 million to a candidate of Arab origin to compete with U.S. Senator Rashida Tlaib in the Michigan elections.
I was offered $20 million to withdraw from the senatorial race and run against my friend Rashida Tlaib.
As if that wasn't enough, the Israeli lobby is so worried about U.S. Congress dissent due to the war that it was reported it spent big money trying to purge its critics from the Democratic Party.
The pro-Israel lobby will go to any length to remove anybody from the U.S. Congress that has any opposition to their agenda and their total, unequivocal support for Israel, good, bad, or indifferent.
Iran has reiterated that ending the Israeli occupation and holding a referendum among the original inhabitants of Palestine is the only path to durable peace in West Asia.
Mr. President, once again, my delegation reiterates its principal position that the most effective and durable path to the peace in Palestine is holding of a referendum among all residents of Palestine, Jewish, Christians, and Muslims, including displaced Palestinians and refugees, based on the history of conflict and instability in the Middle East over the past 7 decades. The Islamic Republic of Iran believes that durable peace can only be achieved by ending the occupation, restoring Palestinians inalienable right to the self-determination, returning refugees to their homelands, and establishing a Palestinian state with Al-Quds al-Sharif as its capital.
Yonav, when he was speaking at a UN General Assembly session, the Iranian envoy said the plight of Palestinians is rooted in the historical occupation and atrocities of Israel. He also denounced settler attacks as he cited a UN committee report that brings to the fore Israeli violence against the Palestinians.
The second chapter of the report of the committee shows that the number of Palestinian casualties rose rapidly in the first half of 2023. The highest number of the casualties recorded since 2006. The report indicates that the Israeli settlers, who are supposed to act like regular civilians, targeted Palestinians, including children on their way to a school, and attacked and vandalized Palestinian home and vehicles. International law unequivocally assessed that those among armed settlers who directly take part in hostilities with the backing of military forces cannot be afforded the status of civilians protected by humanitarian law.
Iravani also condemned Israel's bombardment of civilian infrastructure in the Gaza Strip. He said the regime makes desperate attempts to cover up and justify its crimes under the guise of self-defense, which is devoid of legal basis and credibility. The Iranian ambassador said Israel must be held accountable for its crimes against humanity, war crimes, and genocide. He demanded that the General Assembly revive its resolution 3379, adopted back in 1975. The resolution equated Zionism with colonialism and South African apartheid, and determined that Zionism is a form of racism and racial discrimination. People in the U.S. city of Burlington have held another vigil for three students of Palestinian descent who were shot and wounded near the Brown University campus. The city mayor hailed the people for showing up their support despite the frigid weather.
Saturday's events, the actions of one person at this incredibly sensitive time really sent a message of hate. And I think what tonight's vigil was about is to say to the students that Burlingtonians support them and feel terrible that this happened to them while they're visiting our community, and also to send a message to the larger Arab and Muslim community here that whose in some ways their worst fears were confirmed by what happened, that this is a community that supports and welcomes them and where they are safe.
The mayor underscored that there was no politics involved in the rally. Rather, it was an assemblage of people who care. A day before, university students also organized a vigil and observed a moment of silence for the victims Hisham Awartani, Tahsin Ali Ahmad, and Kinan Abdul Hamid, all in their 20s, were attacked on Saturday. They remain under medical care. The assailant, Jason J. Eaton, had pleaded not guilty to charges of second-degree murder, but a court ordered to keep him in custody. Earlier, police classified the shooting as a hate crime. Threats against Muslims have increased across the U.S. since Israel launched its war on Gaza on October the 7th. Turkey has called on the United Nations to hold Israel accountable at international tribunals for the war crimes the regime has committed in Gaza. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan made the remark during a phone conversation with UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Ahead of a UN Security Council meeting on Gaza, the Turkish president said Israel, quote, shamelessly violates international law, the laws of war, and international humanitarian law. Meanwhile, Jordan's King Abdullah has also slammed Israel for the war on Gaza and the war crimes the regime has committed during the war. The king said Israel's brutal campaign in Gaza and military operations in the West Bank stand in blatant disregard for human values and the right of life. That's a wrap for now.
The whole world is silent towards oppression. Even one voice becomes powerful. IRIB English Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en.
Supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the all-merciful, the all-compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
In the limelight.
A senior Palestinian official has described as extremely catastrophic the health situation in the Gaza Strip in general, stressing the need for providing the necessary health components. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The Zionist regime's war on Gaza has actually been a war on Gaza's hospitals. Just 10 of Gaza's 35 hospitals are still operational. One in particular has been in the headlines. On November 23rd, the Zionist regime announced that its military had detained the head of Al-Shifa Hospital, Dr. Mohammad Abu Salmiya. That followed a week-long siege of the hospital, during which the military tried and failed to show that Ash-Shifa had been used as a headquarters or a command and control center. What it did succeed in doing was take offline yet another hospital in Gaza, and this the biggest and, by Gazan standards, best equipped Hospitals in Gaza were already short of essential supplies when the crossings closed completely after October 7 because of the 16-year Israeli regime blockade of the territory that had left the health sector in Gaza chronically short of vital medicines and medical equipment. When the Zionist regime then cut supplies of electricity, water, fuel, medical supplies, food, not to mention flour, food, children's sweets and pet food, all areas of civilian life were affected. This assault on Gaza's civilian infrastructure was signaled clearly in the language of the Zionist regime's officials, who have used genocidal terms to describe Palestinians, threatened nuclear annihilation, and generally treated Palestinians as human animals, in the words of the Zionist regime's war minister Yoav Gallant. The occupation has specifically targeted hospitals, and it did so at a time when these were no longer just places for patients. They had also become hoped-for sanctuaries for the displaced, whose homes had been destroyed and who no longer had anywhere else to go. A friend of the doctors there, Farah, said, "There is no place for life here. There is a place only for death." Farah had sought safety at Al-Shifa Hospital after her home was bombed, but was trying to leave the area because it was so dangerous. "We've been through many bombings, but Al-Shifa is the worst. There are people, children, bodies, death everywhere. I cannot find the words. I have no words. We have to leave," she said. The Zionist regime's siege and attack on Al-Shifa Hospital has proceeded without any consideration for any patient, whether they have cancer, kidney, liver, or stomach ailments, or have been wounded in the Zionist regime's bombardment. Thousands of people, including doctors, are in a critical situation. Approximately 250 medical staff have been killed, and they have had to work under the worst of conditions. Early in the onslaught, doctors were puzzled by the burns they saw in patients, later determined to be from the use of white phosphorus. The Zionist regime may have cut the lights in Gaza, but it lit the sky with white phosphorus bombs, and it lit the skin of those in the vicinity. The Zionist regime has not only targeted the buildings of hospitals, but their solar panels, their last hope of generating power to keep services functioning. Zaina, who took shelter in Al-Shifa Hospital with her family, where her father is a doctor, said, "Israel is killing us. Even if you beat the odds and leave, you will not have medicine or care." Zaina said that once the Israeli troops turned up, "We were not allowed to move from room to room." Zaina said, "We chose to stay in the hospital with my father." He said if he was displaced to what they claim is the safe south, who would say to treat the wounded? Food and water had run out at the hospital, where no one understood what the Zionist regime troops wanted from the patients and wounded. Zaina said the snipers positioned at the hospital, like hunters waiting for prey, made leaving impossible. She said, "We made our decision to stay together, live together, or die together." Meanwhile, Press TV noted, a senior Palestinian official has described as extremely catastrophic the health situation in the Gaza Strip in general, stressing the need for providing the necessary health components. Munir Al-Bersh, Director General of Gaza's Health Ministry, made the remarks recently as a four-day humanitarian truce appeared to be holding in the besieged enclave. Bersh said, "The quantities of medical aid and fuel that arrived in the Gaza Strip, especially the northern areas of the Strip, are very limited and insufficient in light of the catastrophic health condition of the hospitals." He added, "Medicines and medical supplies must be brought into Gaza in large quantities, in line with the catastrophic health situation in the Strip." The Palestinian official further noted that only three hospitals are now operating in Gaza, namely Al-Mamdani, Al-Wada, Al-Kamal, Al-Adan, which are serving some 900,000 people, warning that they are on the brink of collapse. He also emphasized the need to strengthen the health system in Gaza and the northern regions and provide adequate health services. The Zionist regime launched the war on Gaza on October 7th, after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas waged the surprise Operation Al-Aqsa Storm against the occupying entity in response to the Zionist regime's decades-long campaign of bloodletting and devastation against Palestinians. Tel Aviv has also imposed a complete siege on Gaza, cutting off fuel, electricity, food and water to the more than 2 million Palestinians living there. Recently, the government media office in Gaza said that 26 hospitals and 55 health centers were out of service in the blockaded territory. The Israeli regime forces also targeted 55 ambulances, while dozens of others are out of service due to fuel shortages.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Black and white.
The world is oscillating between two poles, the side representing the dark forces of imperialism and reaction. They want to ensure the eternal survival of the system of oppression and domination in any possible way, through their media and hegemonic statements and falsehoods. And the other side is the media that are looking for a way to serve world nations and help their struggle for national liberation and support the workers and the majority. Our program, Black and White, here proudly sides with the second group. We have produced 27 episodes so far. We started our work on April 14th. The beginning of our work was an episode about Palestine, the lives of Palestinians, where the dreams, hopes and struggles of the Palestinian nation. Anna Arche was our guest in that show. With her words, she actually encouraged us to have even cultural productions in occupied Palestine, the Palestine whose nation always dreams of regaining sovereignty of their land. We have covered these issues in 27 episodes so far. During this time, we have tried to have a strong and clear position with the nations. We have a clear stance. In Black and White, we have no such thing as neutral. We clearly take sides. Today, we're closing the first season of the program. We hope that we have been able to remain faithful to these principles of being with the people and being anti-imperialist and anti-Zionist. The press in the West has two twin characteristics, which is very ridiculous. And if we add to this the continuous destruction of houses and the occupation of Palestinian lands by settlers and by the bombing of hospitals, schools, and universities, it means genocide on an appalling scale. I am Eduardo Artes.
Eduardo Artes.
¿Por qué hay que insistir en Palestina como Palestina? Palestina como, si entramos en la lógica de los estados nacionales, como un estado.
Why should we emphasize the nation state of Palestine as a state or government? Because all the struggle is aimed at the land. The dispute is over the land. The land is not an illusion or a symbolic or poetic object. One thing is clear and is a tangible reality about the land of Palestinians. This land has been the residence of this nation, which is one of the original nations of the world. And this noble nation resisted and fought in different ways to stay in its land. And this right is not only exclusive to the Palestinian nation, it is also the right of many other nations. I relate the events that are happening in Palestine to the events in other parts of the world. The world as a whole is a collection and a planet.
It can be said that the Mapuche people's struggle for land is related to its survival as a nation. And without a doubt, in Palestine, since they have been driven out, if the Palestinians do not remain in Palestine, the Palestinian nation will be destroyed.
This is a central issue that the Israeli regime is looking for. And I would like to emphasize the Zionist regime of Israel.
You should refer to it as the Zionist regime.
This regime intends to destroy all Palestinians or expel them from their land. Because this land is the place where the reality of the formation of this struggle and also this violence take place. The struggle of the Palestinian nation, like any other nation, is a struggle that has different forms and shapes. Not all the Palestinian people fully agree with all the actions that are being taken, but it has several parts. Some parts and regions are more affected by the violent actions of the Israeli army, and they have decided to take military action and resist. And there are other parts in the same land that are pursuing cultural intifada. It means cultural resistance against the entire existence of this apartheid regime.
Leave Iraq.
Ertakab al-Mujrim.
Israel. Es consecuencia de este tratado.
Israel is the result of this agreement. Therefore, this agreement is very important. It is important because today the attack on Syria should be seen from the angle of this agreement, and also the U.S. invasion of Iraq in 2003. This agreement means fragmenting and dividing the land and population of Palestine. There have been ongoing attacks, however. We shouldn't look at the history as a static entity. And contradictions within the international events provide opportunity for some nations to rise and ask for justice.
Da también espacio a los pueblos, a las causas justas. ¿Cómo hoy día, no es cierto?
Since the Sykes-Picot Agreement, which meant the birth of the Palestine issue, or rather, it meant the formation and foundation of the Zionist regime, and considering the measures taken by the British after the fall of the Ottoman Empire, we can safely assume that the issue of Palestine has been raised since then. The point is that today we are witnessing a crisis in Western Europe, and this region is regressing to become a third world country. And on the other hand, the decline of the U.S. hegemony is known to everyone. And we should never forget that they are the ones who support Zionism and Israel under any condition and in any aspect, from an ideological, cultural, military, and economic point of view. What is your opinion about this?
I tell you that the Palestinian issue was formed since the Sykes-Picot Agreement. Sykes-Picot Agreement includes the division of territories, and part of these territories was Palestine, which was eventually placed under the British protectorate. Then, subsequently, after the 1930s revolts in Palestine against the British protectorate, the Zionist movement played a very important role. Britain fully defends the Zionist movement. There is a declaration known as Balfour, which was signed in 1917. This statement is very important because it shows us the policy of British imperialism. They suddenly changed their position in such a way that, at the time and before 1915, the British supported the formation of the Arab nation-state, and their aim was to strengthen the Arab nationalist movements against the Ottoman Turkish Empire. But after the signs of the collapse of the Ottoman Turkish Empire appeared in the conditions of the First World War, Britain changed its position suddenly and said, today our interest is to have a colonial presence through the governorships. One of these regions that was the victim of this decision was Palestine. Palestine was part of the Sykes-Picot Agreement, and then it was the subject of the Balfour Declaration, which is of great importance because it's the first official document of the British Foreign Office which shows the strong and full support of Britain to the Zionist movement for future colonialization. In my opinion, this Western retreat and this Sykes-Picot crisis that we are witnessing today has affected the Palestinian issue and can be promising an open new path for freedom.
The powers of the world, the arrogant West, are grappling with a crisis today. The crisis basically originates from the fact that the neocolonial system is not accepted permanently by either the countries or the nations of the world. Today, the example, the G7, which is a powerful group, is 1.5 points behind BRICS. BRICS is of great importance in dealing with blackmail, sanctions, and the pressures of imperialism and Western and European allies, which subjugate nations and prevent the policy of independence and sovereignty. This is a fundamental issue. However, there is another point which merits a mention, and that is the path of independence which small countries should have.
If the West has already taken sides in this war, then we need to look for other judges who are unbiased. For example, the negotiation between Saudi Arabia and Iran, which was mediated by China, is a very important issue.
We should note that this meant ending, or at least reaching an agreement to end, the brutal and disastrous war in Yemen.
Yes, exactly. But there is one point. When the U.S. government becomes a mediator in Middle East issues, oh, we shouldn't name this region Middle East. We better say West Asia. It promotes war. The Americans coordinate everything with the Israeli regime. And if the Israelis do not agree, negotiations will not work. And this is the first important negotiation in the West Asia that the Israelis did not understand what was being negotiated. China has surprised the world with this negotiation between Saudi Arabia and Iran. We even saw a commander of the Saudi armed forces telling Iranian leaders and commanders that Saudi Arabia is your country. You can come here for pilgrimage. This was a very drastic and rapid change that we also witnessed in other areas, such as the issue of de-dollarization among the world countries.
France is on fire. Continuous and constant demonstrations. A France that has forgotten its own children, because those who protest in the streets are French. Yes, grandchildren and descendants of immigrants who have come from former French colonies. France is indebted to its colonies and to their children.
I think it's not about immigration in a specific sense. The reason is simple, and you mentioned it. We are talking about movements and protests organized by 15, 16, and 17-year-old youth, which, although related to immigration, this reason falls into second, third, or even fourth priority. Their grandfathers or ancestors were immigrants and came to France. They have been born and bred in France. They are French and have French nationality. So I think it's unfair to try to put all the blame on immigration. At first, the problem should be looked at from another point of view. It is related to the coexistence process in this country, cultural coexistence, social coexistence, and political coexistence. And in this context, I think the cultural hypothesis can cause the main problems in France, because this concept of culture, in fact, magnifies issues of migration, culture, and roots too much. In my opinion, these are secondary issues. We also need to pay attention to economic and social aspects of this problem. It's not a secret to anyone that the outskirts of cities in France have been left to themselves and suffer from severe inequalities. Daily living conditions are unfavorable, and the government has deprived these areas from some public services. High percentages of these communities suffer from lack of access to school, and they have to drop out in these areas. These are very important topics. And finally, the only organization that you can feel its presence in these areas is the police. And this situation causes tension between this section of the society and the police. It's not about migration. It's about France's colonialist history, in which France puts part of the society of other countries and other cultures in a lower position and then uses them for its economic purposes. But in the end, it puts a significant part of this population in miserable and difficult living conditions. And every time a social problem occurs, it excludes the population. To give you a clear answer, this is a social issue and not an immigration issue.
For me, the problem is the question social and not a problem of immigration.
Those who have rare minerals in their possession own the present, and moreover, they own the future. China owns almost 90% of rare minerals and offers them in the world markets. It doesn't simply drop them in the market, rather it produces them. This has turned out to be a very serious issue for the United States, which is desperately seeking a solution to its need for rare minerals so that it can compete with China and prevent itself from drowning.
E impedir ser ahogado.
Las tierras raras.
Rare lithium minerals and other important minerals are essential to continue the cycle of capitalist processes and great and imperialist powers. What is the U.S. government looking for? It does not want to lose its power. And for this purpose, it needs to guarantee access to these resources first for itself, then for itself, and then again for itself. This is a struggle between world powers over these resources. What is the thing that they have called a problem, and it shouldn't be a problem? I believe it is becoming a serious problem. You're absolutely right. Wars are over resources. Resources play an essential role, and we cannot live without them. Without resources, there is no human. So the American continent, South America, and Latin America in general, from Mexico to Patagonia, we have a population of about 600 million people. In South America, the population stands at 500 million people. We are a small population, about 5 to 6% of the world's population, but we live in an incredibly rich land. In terms of biodiversity, the Amazon, lithium, water, and now that the discussion of rare minerals, all these show that this region is very important. We have what the powers in the North need to preserve their power and hegemony.
Che Guevara no se acomodaba ni aceptaba.
Che Guevara never desired nor accepted to be limited by regulations while he was confronting developments. He never allowed anyone to tell him what to do and how to think. He was a revolutionary character and a revolutionary by nature. He was undoubtedly an internationalist. He was born in Argentina and originally from this country. But most of his struggles and services were for the people of Cuba, Congo, and Bolivia. In all international forums, he always supported the freedoms of nations, self-determination, national liberation, and social justice. In 1959, he visited the Gaza Strip and fully supported the Palestinian nation. That's why even today, we see the Palestinian nation carry his pictures in many of their fights. And his social method in guerrilla warfare is usually studied by the Palestinians to confront the Zionist occupiers. Che Guevara is one of the men that history has bestowed upon us. He lived beyond his era and time. His legacy keeps growing, and he's actually in every struggle and every demonstration of workers and nations for freedom.
I think Che Guevara is a faithful commentator for all internationalist struggles. That's why I think that everywhere in the world, flags with his picture are seen, because Che Guevara had realized that imperialism must be fought in every corner of the world. Imperialism should not be given priority. I believe that everyone, wherever on earth, should have a sacred duty to fight against American imperialism. I say against American imperialism because it is the power that's taken control of the world today. And today this imperialism is declining because Americans have been imposing wars on the world for so long. Today we see a declaration of war from the U.S. not only against China, but against all humanity. And its goal is to remain an empire at the cost of destroying the world. For what? For plundering resources and gaining profit forever. This empire is profiting through arms sales, and for that reason, wars are a practical phenomenon for them. Wars are necessary for their wealth. As a result, I think Che Guevara has been very right about the main duty of a revolutionary. Among many things, he used to emphasize fighting against American imperialism. That was a priority for him. This was a lesson for the entire world that he also mentioned in his last letter. The letter he wrote to Fidel Castro. That was it, and I think it's a guidance for all of us.
Next, we will start the new chapter, the second chapter, that is. We also assure you that we will try to be the voice of those who fight against imperialism and Zionism, the voice of the nations. We will be back soon, and we are waiting for you. I'm Eduardo Artes.
Soy
Eduardo Artes.
In the limelight.
The fact that the truce deal was reached on the terms of the Palestinian resistance and following marathon negotiations in which the resistance officials discussed issues from the position of strength proves that the truce deal is a triumph for both the Palestinian resistance and the axis of resistance. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Press TV noted, Palestinian resistance group Hamas has confirmed the four-day truce deal with the Zionist regime in the besieged Gaza Strip, mediated by Qatar and Egypt, which is subject to extension. Under the deal, Hamas will release 50 Israeli prisoners of war held since October 7 in exchange for 150 Palestinian women and children who have been languishing in Israeli regime jails for years. The deal will also facilitate the entry of humanitarian, medical and fuel trucks to the besieged territory and hold the Israeli occupying regime's indiscriminate, murderous attacks on Palestinians in Gaza. The Zionist regime's drones hovering in the skies of Gaza will also stop for 4 days, as per the deal. In northern Gaza, they must stop for at least 6 hours a day. The Zionist regime will also not be arresting or attacking anyone in all areas of the Gaza Strip these days. The statement released by Hamas stressed that the terms of the truce are based on the vision of the resistance and its principles, adding that the talks were held from a position of steadfastness and strength in the field, despite the occupation's attempts to prolong and procrastinate the negotiations. While Hamas has declared its commitment to the deal, it has also warned that its hands remain on the trigger in the case the Tel Aviv regime breaches the deal or backtracks on its commitments. The Gaza-based resistance group said, "While we announced the arrival of a pause of fighting agreement, we affirm that our hands will remain on the trigger, and our victorious brigades will remain on the lookout to defend our people and defeat the occupation and its aggression." It hastened to add, "Inspired by our responsibility towards our patient and determined Palestinian people and our tireless endeavor to support the steadfastness of our heroic people in the dignified Gaza Strip and to provide relief and treat their wounds, and in our work to consolidate the will of our victorious resistance on October 7th in the face of the Zionist enemy," the movement assured Palestinians that they will remain loyal to their blood, their sacrifices, their patience, their steadfastness, and their aspirations for liberation and freedom, their restoration of rights, and establishment of an independent Palestinian state with Al-Quds as its capital. There were about 5,200 Palestinians in Israeli regime prisons before the events of October 7th. In the last 7 weeks, 3,000 more Palestinians have been arrested in random raids across the occupied West Bank. The deal was finalized days after the policy of procrastination adopted by the Israeli regime, as Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was reportedly stalling attempts to clinch the temporary agreement. As expected, the right-wing Israeli regime minister Itamar Ben-Gvir, who has been campaigning for war, couldn't hide his frustration after the deal was clinched, saying it sets a dangerous precedent. He wrote in a post on X, Hamas wanted this time out more than anything. The outline is a dangerous precedent which changes the equation and may bring more events. The deal, according to experts, represents a major victory for the Palestinian resistance led by Hamas, which came 7 weeks after the unprecedented Al-Aqsa Storm operation. The operation, which took the Zionist regime and its Western backers by complete surprise, established the strategic and military superiority of resistance and debunked the invincibility myth of the regime. The fact that the deal was reached on the terms of the Palestinian resistance and following marathon negotiations in which the resistance officials discussed issues from the position of strength proves that the four-day truce deal is a triumph for both the Palestinian resistance and the axis of resistance. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad Resistance Movement, in a statement posted on Telegram, made it clear that Israeli troops will not be freed until all our prisoners are liberated from enemy prisons. It shows that both Hamas and Islamic Jihad are not going to be blackmailed into submission, but will continue to pressure the Israeli regime into accepting the demands of the resistance. This time, it is the Palestinian resistance that will speak, and the occupying regime will have to listen. Hours after the deal was reached, leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, speaking at an event in Tehran, said the Israeli regime was knocked out by the Palestinian resistance.